Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, I'll be welcoming our guest for this evening, Tara Sutphen, the American mystic. I'm very excited to hear what Tara is going to share with us. But before we get started, I'd like to welcome my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
I was on mute, but I'm not now.
I'm doing fine.
You hear me. Hello, Steve. I'm doing okay. Thank you so very much. And how are you doing from Tennessee?
I'm well, thank you. Very well.
That's great. And I guess I think I can feel what you're going to ask me next. Let me think. Oh, yeah. I guess, are you going to ask me what I do?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, I do the dishes. I do the vacuuming.
And I call the dishwasher.
As a matter of fact, it's supposed to be new, but it just doesn't work. And never mind about that; it's too loud. So I throw my dishes out into the pool, and then in the ocean on the other side. Anyway, to get on with what I do with all of you, and I enjoy all of you very much, and Doug included. And I work at PsychicAccess.com, along with my other co-host, and I'm an accomplished. I'd like to say I see myself as accomplished. And a psychic intuitive consultant, and I'm an empath, which can be very, very difficult. Many people may be able to identify with that. It is very difficult to be feeling so much, not just empathy, but being an empath. But I am respected for my authenticity, and I am committed to my clients, and I feel very good about that. I'm also a I'm very well versed in tarot. That's where my main tool is and everything else, but I don't feel that they're magical. I don't feel anything that they talk to me. I don't hear their voices coming from the cards, but I also feel that they're a record of human, tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. I've always felt that way after all my research. And I help people help themselves in the direction that they could take. And it has to be a two-way street. And I enjoy my work very much. And sometimes it's very difficult, but I really do get a lot of fulfillment from it.
Great. Well, I know you do, Maureen. It's a wonderful job that you do. And I'm really happy that you're with us tonight for the radio show, as always.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, well, now I would like to welcome Brenda. Brenda, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. I'm looking forward to actually the end of the world tomorrow because I don't view it as an ending. I view it as a beginning,
right.
Like a fantastic beginning. And I'm getting the psychic feeling that it's going to just be fantastic for a lot of us. Especially those of us that work in the psychic realm.
Yes,
I really do see that.
I feel so as well.
Don't you feel that, Steve? Don't you feel like this egg is cracking and things are opening up?
Yeah.
The world's changing a lot. It's a new beginning. And, the last time Neptune was in the sign it rules, Pisces, was when we saw the birth of spiritualism and mediumship, a spiritism, some people call it. So that was huge in the 1800s, on into the 1900s. And now Neptune is in Pisces again. We should see a huge upswing in interest in the work that we do.
Well, it all started in the 1960s. I don't think it happened overnight. It all was starting. We marching towards this. Well, you know, if I don't see you guys,
oh no.
I know, I'm just messing with you. You know what's you know what's interesting? I got to tell you. I'm sorry. I saw this silly commercial today, and it had to do with some silly drink, maybe the little kids' drink, and it says, well, and shows the mind. It was really kind of disturbing. Shows the mind thing. Well, I guess we have enough of these Capri drinks that even if we're gone, I was like, I can't believe they're showing that. I couldn't believe it. I'm not kidding. It was sad. I'm sorry, Brenda. I'm done interrupting.
Okay. Well, I work. If I know this question is going to come, so I'm going to like tell everybody what I do on psychicaccess.com.
Yes, please.
I am a predictive psychic. I use the crystal ball, the cards, tarot cards, and the playing cards, and I specialize in dates, times, and places. Future predictions is my specialty. Kind of old school that way. Anyhow, and I work with all you lovely people on psychicaccess.com.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad to have you with us, Brenda. As you all know, or as you both know, our guests don't know yet, our listeners don't know, but I'm covering for Bobby for 10 minutes or so. But I'd like to give you some background on our guest, Tara Sutphen, before I invite her to join us. Tara is an author, world-renowned psychic, a certified clinical hypnotherapist and radio host. She's recognized as a way clearer, engaging her Celtic and Native American heritage to reprogram behavior, fears, and limiting behaviors. A master in the psychic sciences, Tara's abilities have been documented since 1981. She's a clairaudient, clairvoyant, and clairsentient, and her automatic writing with her spirit guide, Abenda, is recognized throughout the world. If you'd like to read more about Tara and her work, go to TaraSutphen.com. That's TaraSutphen.com. Well, Tara, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. That was very sweet. Thank you for that beautiful introduction.
You're welcome. Well, I'm just with you for the first 10 minutes, Tara. I'm one of the co-hosts, and then Bobby will take over, unfortunately. But don't let that get you down.
Yeah, you have a beautiful voice, by the way. I love it. Where are you from?
I'm British.
Yes.
I'm actually from Wales originally.
Wales. Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Tara, it's great to have you on the show. I was looking at your website earlier today, and I guess the first question I want to ask you, Tara, is how did you become aware of your abilities originally?
Well, you know, I had really a major surgery when I was 6 weeks old, and it lasted for 7.5 hours. And, you know, they gave me the last rites and all that stuff, and they really didn't feel that I would make it. And but I did, of course. And then I turned around and had another surgery at 10 weeks old. And from then on, I really always remembered my past lives and remembered my babyhood very clearly. And my thing with people as a, you know, baby and all throughout my youth is I could feel people's feelings and follow their feelings to where it acts as a movie for me. I see it, hear it, feel it, know it. And so I know how people feel usually and what kind of problems and worries they're going through. And for me, I guess it was trying to come clear whose feelings were whose and they weren't mine, even as a small child. And then I had another near-death experience when I was 8 years old.
Goodness.
And I was bleeding to death on an operating table. All of a sudden the roof was there for a moment, and then I looked again. The ceiling was gone, and the white light was there before me, and I just raced for it. I felt so connected to death at that moment, and my spirit guides came in and said, and sent me back. But they told me a lot of things before they sent me back.
Well, so I had a similar experience. I had a mountain biking accident and lost a lot of blood and passed a spirit. And it was the most incredible experience. The feeling of safety and warmth and just wholeness and the love. Words can't describe it. It was wonderful. Well, I want to hand you over to Bobby. Sorry?
Oh, is Bobby? Is Bobby back?
He is. So I'm sorry that you stuck with Bobby now, but I'll hand you over, Tara. But I'll be here for the rest of the show listening keenly.
Okay.
If you like, Steve. I can do an English accent.
Yeah, you should.
Hey, gee, sure.
Oh, my God. Hi, Tara. How are you?
Hi. How are you, Bobby?
I'm really well. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sorry, I wasn't here to welcome you in person. But
Bobby's been doing a good job. But, you know, we got into the heavy stuff of how I really became a psychic, but it's really been all my life.
Yeah. And
never
and,
got out of it. Yeah.
And in the near-death experiences, so I heard that much. And, you know, it's funny because I came up about my abilities not from near-death experiences. And I know there's a lot of people out there who say that their abilities come from that, but you're really one that it did. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, and I talk to people a lot who've had near-death experiences, and it's very interesting what you choose for your life. Like, I was talking to a fireman last week who had a car accident where he had a near-death experience and then became a fireman, and he believes the intuitive ability he has now helps him as a fireman, but he doesn't necessarily think he's psychic. He just knows where to go and what to do in an emergency.
Isn't that something they always start off the phrase with, well, I'm not psychic, or I'm not psychic like you are, but I feel things. And people they try to distinguish that, don't they? They put it in two different categories when it's all from the same river, I think.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and I have a teen class where thankfully they haven't had to have a lot of terrible experience to get to their psychic ability. You know, we're teaching it now, and it's really amazing what can come for people.
It's so important for teens. I saw that you were doing that. It's so, so important. I've worked with a lot of kids that they just, you know, you get there's two sides of it, isn't it? There's the child who sometimes is scared about what they see or what they're experiencing. Other times they're not. They completely understand what it is. But then you've got the parents, the moms or the dads, generally moms for me, where the mom don't know how to handle this rush of emotions or feelings or the fear or whatever else the child is going through. And so there's a lot of fear on the parents' part of trying to take care of their child. So you almost have to coach both, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Crazy. Tell me more about the teen classes, and as long as we're just kind of on that subject, tell me more about are you noticing it younger and younger in kids, or at least more of an understanding in kids? Like you said, when we were growing up, I had the same thing, more empathy than anything else. I didn't understand it. My parents didn't talk to me about it. Of course, they weren't into this, but I'm finding more of an understanding, I think, of kids today. And you see it all the time. Are you sensing it?
Yeah, I, you know, it could be the generation thing of somebody was mentioning like the 60s and how we, you know, have evolved as far as trying to be liberated, trying to be more open-minded, and what kind of parents really kind of came out of that. But because my parents also, they weren't into any sort of psychic things. As a matter of fact, I thought it was interesting how they used to poo-poo it, you know, really. And you know, and when I tell them about my past lives, they just thought I was an imaginative, beautiful child and how everyone would talk to me because I could, you know, activate their feelings.
Yeah. And then the kids, though, I mean, what a great position to be in to teach teens. And I would think that that's got to be very healing for you as well. Again, from how you grew up and how you came into this. It can be really healing to teach others and get others, you know, at that age, I think, in tune. What is it the same for you?
Yeah. No, I feel very fulfilled with my life on all levels, old and young. But the youth do give you a certain joy because they get it so fast and they're not afraid. Like you teach them that spatial consciousness, you know, if somebody's feeling bad, that you react in kindness and you react from a psychic standpoint of, oh, they might need something. So then they react to them so much differently and their whole lives just open up. And they make money, they have great love, they've gone on to great colleges, they're studying and understanding life at a level that really we probably our generation struggled with.
I think we did, because like you said, with that, if you don't have that support, we got to figure it out for our own. Or like me, I didn't even try to figure it out. I didn't try to understand anything. I was just kind of living teen life, you know, and then it didn't hit me until later. But yeah, it's I think the kids today are definitely more blessed in a way, because there's so much more of a support system out there for them, which is awesome. And then I don't know if we covered this or not, but this is what I mean, your personal journey in the psychic world. I think that you know, as we talk about it, it started coming up for you and you were experiencing things as you were younger. But when did you make a conscious choice as to this is what's happening and I'm going to pursue this? Do you remember that moment?
Well, you know, it's always kind of flowed for me. You know, I've always thought that maybe I wanted to be in the equine science business with horses and raising horses at one time, because I have always owned horses. And, you know, I've been an artist. I went to 3.5 years of art school. But I made a conscious choice with those that, you know, you have to become a master in what you do. And naturally, I was a phenomenal psychic. So I was working on the Alaska Pipeline when I was just 19 years old.
Yeah.
And up above Pump Station 1 for British Petroleum. And I felt that everybody who I came in contact with was some kind of a teacher for me, because I was being read by people who come in from the Philippines, Russia, very unusual walks of life, and they always wanted to read me or do an astrology chart for me. And this is all before, you know, really it was as popular as it is now.
Right.
And I was, you know, a mile off the Beaufort Sea, and so up there on the Arctic Ocean. So to be asked these things was, you know, like ridiculous almost.
Yeah. To be out in the middle of nowhere, they're almost pinpointing you.
Right. I was pinpointed in an odd way always. And then when I moved to California, I bought a house in California with my pipeline money. And right away, I met Jess Stern in Hollywood. And I think you know who Jess Stern is. Metaphysical author who wrote Yoga, Youth, and Reincarnation. And it was on the bestseller list out of New York in 1965. And I feel, brought maybe Eastern thought to the Western world. And I was very, very close to him. And I may be really the accolade for his work.
Mm.
Because I think it's very unusual now that I've grown older that he was 64 and I was 21 and we were best friends. But I have, you know, children that follow me around like he did as well. And so we're bringing this thought. And it's not like hardcore thought, you know, it's not like pushing it on people. It's just that...
really,
there's a great, you know, a great movement of beauty and harmony that you can attain within your life.
Right. You know,
and that's what he taught.
I've always loved the Eastern philosophy. That's kind of where, when I started self-exploration, it started more with Zen and Buddhism and the Eastern thought. And I believe that path there led me to more of the intuitive knowingness that I have now. It was really, in the beginning, your tapes, Dick's tapes, that really started me on my huge turn in this direction. And that's why it is just amazing that you were able to come on the show tonight, because I wanted to tell you that. You guys were the beginning for me, the very beginning, deep sleep program. I could not wait to go to sleep at night to have some of the, you know, the deeper sleep programming, the subliminal messages and stuff, which I just completely believe in. And my undying thank you goes to you guys. It's always a recognition every time I talk about how I got started into this, and your name and then Dick's name also just are the first names that I always mention. So absolutely amazing. And I totally agree you with the Eastern philosophy, and but you do Eastern astrology as well, right?
Right. I do a mixture of Eastern and Western astrology. I'd like to teach it upcoming because I don't know anyone who does the same thing that I do, although I have been read by some of the Hebrew astrologers that are, they do similar. And yeah, it's interesting. It's a very interesting concept that I use the Western mathematics and add the Eastern mathematics to it. Because I believe that it's the language of geometry, and so it's all the universal language of numbers.
Right. And that is, did you develop that, or how did you get going down that path? Was it just something that kind of came naturally to you, or you felt pulled in that direction?
You know, it's just this flow of this work for me. I have always been drawn to it in my early 20s. You know, I was with Jess Stern and then Dick Sutphin. I was just, you know, going forward at such a degree of being immersed into the metaphysical field. And so I just got to learn everything I wanted to as books, because I owned Malibu Shaman at that time, and my ex-stepson owns it. But so it's still there. But I got to order all the books I wanted, and when I traveled all over the place, I would go into bookstores so that and buy unusual books.
Right, of course.
And just really ancient stuff where, my collection of books are all, you know, like deep Chinese books and deep Egyptian books and a deep where I've just really Arabic books where I've really tried to go back and grab these books where, you know, since we've been going so fast into the internet that, you know, grab these books while we still have them on the earth. Because I'm sure like the Roman library and some of these great libraries have some of these books, but
it feels to me like about all of that, it feels like you were being drawn back into those libraries, almost like, okay, I'm in this lifetime now. I have to grab all the knowledge I had from previous lifetimes so I can bring it here. You know what I mean? Like you're going to the library of the past almost, it feels like. At least when you're talking about it, that's how it seems.
Right. Because I didn't learn anything about Arabic or Eastern astrology, Chinese astrology, Indian astrology. I didn't learn about any of that through teachers. I went back and really studied myself after I'd learned Western astrology from someone. But nobody was there really to teach me. I have only met one person who speaks the same language as I do. And he's an older guy, and he was just so interesting with his astrology. But I've only ever met one person who could speak really the language of that, because it's a language in itself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the modalities find you, don't they? When you get into this, people always want to know, what should I study first? What should I, you know, should I do tarot cards? Should I do numerology or astrology?
Sure.
And really, if you just get into it, you're pulled, aren't you, in directions of, you just get so excited and so passionate about a particular subject or one of the facets of the psychic work. And then that it finds you, I think.
Right. And, you know, like my students, since I do have the teenagers, I don't want them to be confused right away. You know, like they love tarot cards and have, you know, maybe 150 kind of sets of tarot cards I've collected. And so, but there's a couple different cards that I like to use. And one that is my favorite deck is called the Scapini. It's an Italian Scapini deck. And actually the guy who did the deck is still alive in Italy.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, but it has some great, it's just great for the kids as far as it has a lot of hidden meanings in the pictures. And so a lot of times when the kids come in, and they don't really know what tarot cards are, but psychically, if I ask them to have a question, and then they're going to choose a card, and then everybody in the class is going to read that card, and they don't have to know what tarot is whatsoever. It's just that they're going to see it, know it, feel it, and hear it, and create a story with the picture.
Right.
And so they start doing that, and then seeing how they start making up real life for the other person. They don't know who the person's about at all, but it's great. It turns out.
It's fun, isn't it? It's fun to look on the looks on their faces when they discover, because some of them don't even think that they could do it at all, or I've got nothing and stuff, but something drew them to your class. And then the looks on their faces when they get something right or they get validated is priceless, isn't it? It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then with tarot, even if it's a big reading, like you've thrown maybe 10 cards or 25 cards, the thing is you asked one question and that's the answer that you will be looking for. You won't think Uncle Harry or Aunt Norma or anywhere within the question, or your parents or your siblings or anybody else. Whatever the question is, you stick to the question. And then tarot becomes very fun.
Yeah.
Because you're not confusing yourself all over the place. Because a lot of people get really kind of muddy and messy with it.
They do, and discouraged.
Discouraged, very discouraged, yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody has psychic ability, everybody. You know, I had to do, I don't know what mine was, if it was just that, you know, my spirit guide wanted that contact right away to keep going. No, we're going to have this contact and let's go. Because, you know, she's been so easy for me to converse with.
Yeah. And her name's now Abenda or Abind? How do you pronounce
it? Abenda.
Mm-hmm. Abenda. And
I say Abenda. It could be pronounced some other way, of course.
Oh, yeah. How did you discover her?
Yeah. Well, when I had, I don't remember her in the surgeries when I was a baby, but I have never been hypnotized actually to those times to where I should be hypnotized to that 7.5 hours. I'm sure there's a lot of interesting stuff. To where is the near-death experience? She was there with another woman, and they stopped me, and she said that I had to go back, but that she would know me all my life and that we would work together. So wow. I thought, huh, that's interesting. You know, at 8 years old,
you're
not really interested in any of that, really. But but I understood her when I did reacquaint myself with her in 21 on top of a mountain in Sedona. I was laying on a red rock slab, and she came to me and said, it's time.
Yeah. And what does she mean by that? It's time. It's time to get to work.
It's time for us to work. Yeah. So that's when I started doing the automatic writing, and I would do it for family members. And then she would come through, and then she'd, instead of, you know, she doesn't necessarily know what your life is about, but she would set it up where I would talk to your spirit guide or someone who loves you very much, and they would write then through my hand. And so that's where it became so accurate.
How did you discover that? I mean, what even, did you just hear about automatic writing, thought you'd give it a shot, or did she tell you that you were going to do that?
Yeah. And she, well, I knew about automatic writing from Jess Stern, because Jess Stern had been written about from Edgar Casey. He had written The Sleeping Prophet and had made Edgar Casey famous. And he had written that book in 3 weeks, The Sleeping Prophet. There had been another book, something about a river. That book had already been out about Edgar Casey, but that hadn't really taken off. Jess was a bigger author. And so he had worked for the New York Times, and he was just kind of a budding writer. And he wrote The Sleeping Prophet. But that, when he came into the office of Edgar Casey's, they said, he said he was just here to do an interview, I think with Hugh Lynn, Edgar's son.
Right.
And Hugh Lynn, the secretary said, oh, you're Jess Stern, you're Stern. Because it's in the writing, in the automatic writing, it says when Stern comes, give him everything. So it was a progression. They knew when Stern would come that they were to give him everything of the files.
God.
And so he came and they gave him everything. He wrote this book in 3 weeks, and, That's how the ARE Foundation happened.
So how does your process work with automatic writing?
Well, with Abenda, you know, and then she set it up that way. She wanted to make sure that I was on that higher level. Like, I don't do really slum work, although I'm very much a gatekeeper for suicides and accidents and, you know, families, loved ones that they want to be crossover gently and easily. So I've done a lot of that. But it's usually set up. Abenda sets it up pretty much. And, you know, because there's levels on the other side. So I'm usually talking to, like, your spirit guides or your grandmother who crossed over, some people right. like that.
And is she, so I'm assuming Abenda then taught you pretty much every aspect of the whole psychic. In other words, telling you also that everybody not only has this gift, but they also have their own spirit guides and angels, correct? Or did you discover that?
Yes. No, she talks about everything. Now now I did a lot of research on her. I went to, she was, her last life, she lived in France. And so we talked a lot about me. I learned to read fluently in French and did a lot of research on when she died and who she was and what she did. I mean, you know, she was just a common person, but she was considered a voyé. And a voyé was somebody who took the old language and the old ways and put them into... taught people. And so if you think about France, you know, France is the language of the church. They don't have a Celtic language because right. in Revolution, they wiped all that out. And then again in 1850, they did the second wipe out of that. And they didn't want any sort of dissension. And they felt that anybody who did any herbal remedies or what teaching of the old languages or the old ways was a dissent, you know, dissentive or
sure, right.
in dissension, right. So she was hung actually in a square. And so she took, you know, she guided me everywhere where she was born, where she died, what square she died in, all sorts of stuff. But she would not tell me the meaning of her name for many, many years. Abenda, oh. And in the 80s, she told me that it would, in the future, there would be a device that would come and it would tell me the meaning of her name. And so I was really mad, actually, when she said this, because it was like, really? You've got to be kidding me.
Come
You're
on,
not gonna
just tell
me the meaning
right.
of name. But, you know, when the internet did come, the first thing I ever typed in was Abenda. And it's a mathematical term that means infinity. It's the beginning and the end.
That's perfect. That's so funny. Right. I know. It's funny when the guys don't communicate. You're like, would you just come on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, we've had tons of fights. Because, you know, I mean, she's not interested in love life. She's not she's only interested in the work. And she used to be really hardcore about it.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Well, listen, I want to talk more about that and then going more into the just everything. So we're going to talk for like 8 hours. This is an 8-hour show, Tara. And we'll just talk
yeah, well, that. We could probably talk 8 hours.
So we're going to take just a 1-minute commercial break and we'll be back here in just a moment. Everybody, we're talking with Tara Sutphen and the American Mystic. We're going to be back with more Psychic Access Talk Radio after this. Don't go anywhere.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And welcome back, everybody. I'm Bobby Marcheso, and thanks for joining us for Psychic Access Talk Radio. On behalf of myself, Steve, Lady Brenda, and Maureen, our special guest tonight is Tara Sutphin, who personally, for me, again, really was the first places that I had turned to on my journey of self-exploration back in the early 80s. And just with the tapes and CDs and the meditations and such like that. So it's a real pleasure to have you on the show tonight, Tara. There was a question I was going to ask. I think it was about Abenda, which is your spirit guide. And I find that a lot of people, I don't think, get confused. What is it? They when they talk to their spirit guides, they feel that they can't ever get mad at them, or, you know, that it always has to just be love and light. And I really like what you said when you're like, oh, no, we've had lots of fights.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's a great relationship, it sounds like.
Yeah. It's a great relationship. Even though I say, you know, I'm going to cut you off. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. You know, it's not true, but
put your fingers in your ears? Are you able to put your fingers in your ears and go la, 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 or can she still get through?
No, she cannot get through. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, but you know, but I'm always, yeah, but she's very serious. You know, for a long time, it would be any sort of humor. She wouldn't laugh at any sort of humor and be like, oh my gosh, you really have to learn some humor, because she really has turned her back on the earth life, really. She just loves the connection and being able to, you know, guide me, but she doesn't really understand the earth life anymore. She really likes it.
Right. Ooh, interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah, she's been great. Yeah, and Jeff Stern, you know, I mean, he's not too far either up there, so, yeah. Yeah, they just kind of guide me through things.
Which is so incredibly helpful. I mean, that's one of the first things I think that we try to teach people, isn't it? To listen to that guidance, that inner voice, and then you discover what the inner voice actually is, or who it is. I love how you've done the history and background work on your spirit guide. What do you recommend if somebody's going to find their spirit guide? How do they know that they did live here before? How would they go about trying to look up information like what you did?
Well, I think that, you know, it's all hindsight. If you keep notes, it's really about bookkeeping a little bit. Just have a journal, take some notes. If you're going to do automatic writing, you take notes, see if it comes true, what the percentage is coming through. And I think that helps a lot as far as gaining some confidence in your psychic ability. You know, because for me, I had so many hits and so much going on that for me, it's doubting her, you know, just to go fly off to France and start looking around at stuff. I mean, it was great.
Right.
You know? But you have to really be, you know, in a confident place of, I'm looking for this, you know, lost dead person who's, yeah.
So that's our recommendation then. If you have a spirit guide, we recommend flying to Italy and
right.
France, walking down the path they walk down. That's the first place to start.
Yeah. And I did have some wonderful psychic phenomena that happened when I did go. So, she really showed herself as far as, you know, I've had a lot of spirits anyway who are very strong spirits.
Yeah.
You know, I just did a show where a Ghostbuster came into the house and I told them all, now go up and be seen by the infrared camera. And
oh,
so,
did you?
Infrared camera.
Oh,
and so, I'm followed around by, and I haven't done a lot of work with him, but I've done a little bit, is Ramses II. And so, the Pharaoh, and when I first met him in spirit, I thought, oh my God, what did I do? But they're very strong, the Egyptians. And when I said that, he blew smoke across the whole my whole dining room for the infrared camera. Okay. High, too. Like as if he came in the wall of the house and just blew it across.
Jeez.
It's great.
That is so fun.
Yeah, so fun. I've had a lot of fun.
So all these different modalities, again, that it's as we're talking about the fun and exploration and learning these types of things and witnessing and going through these different types of experiences, there is that other side of not only helping people into their psychic abilities, but just helping out their lives in general, which I think is tied into. Once you clear away your stuff, your intuitive knowingness, I think, is what's natural and comes out naturally. So one of the ways I know that you do that also, another facet that you use is hypnotherapy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of hypnotherapy, and I have 3 new websites that are coming out and a lot of new product.
Oh,
I'm really excited about it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I was listening to some of it today. You know, we're doing the last edits on some of it, and it's just, like, so much fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
How are the hypnotherapy sessions different then? There's other people obviously out there who also use hypnotherapy or such, but what do you think, what's the twist or the, am I saying that right? Like what
Yeah, there's a little twist I probably do with people, because when I'm working with somebody, I do a lot of shamanic stuff. So I'm linking with their chakras, and and as they change, I'm calling in their spirit guides and wanting them to actually feel the change in their aura, in their body, bring up their life force. So there's a lot of shamanic ability, I think, that I'm giving people when we're doing this kind of work. You know, and I don't know where, other than maybe from the near-death experiences as a child, it's like I know the pathway to all of that, and the guides are so willing to help me that I'm able to help other people that way.
Well, yeah, any way possible. I've always been a huge fan of. I mean, I always consider, like, if you're going to work for the UN, you want as many modalities as possible to be able to, speak as many languages as possible. And it seems like that's what you do. Your list just goes on and on of the different things that you're able to do. Do you think your list is complete? I know that this always expands for us, right? There's never a time where we stop growing and learning, but you've got so much. What else do you think is next?
What I really, really love right now, and I have just slapped my hands back to do it. And the guy just died who has this modality is called the Jovian Archives. I don't know if any of you guys know what the Jovian Archives are.
Oh, but that's what my question is to you. So tell me, Tara, what is the Jovian Archives?
Well, they call it the human design. And it's really fascinating, the actual facets of that. And I don't really know enough of it. I do have the download of the programs in my computers, but I can't, I don't do it. That's what I've really slapped my hands. It's like, no, not one more thing. You're already so over the top, because that's why I'm called the American Mystic, that started out of Europe. But really, people will come up to me and say, oh, I know you, you're a witch. And it's really, I'm really not a witch. I'm more than a witch. I'm an astrologer and a metaphysician, a hypnotherapist. It's not a witch. I'm not just an astrologer. I'm not just a palmist. I'm not just a handwriting expert. I'm not just a, it became like, oh my goodness, there has to be some title here. But metaphysician and occultist is just too harsh, still for a society.
Very harsh. I think that would throw up a lot of barriers with people. Well, yeah. The whole title anyway, even just psychic medium throws up so many barriers with people.
Oh, yeah.
And I've kind of moved it. I've shined away from psychic medium more into teacher type of thing, because I really like the way that feels, very soft. And
I like teacher too. I think teaching, because that's, I think, what we all are doing, is really teaching others to be more than who they are.
Right.
We're at the information opening
desk,
up. To learn deeper things about yourself, so therefore you don't have those blocks. It's a beautiful thing. It is.
Have you ever felt that you've mastered one particular modality or program here?
You know, I did come to a point where I feel I am always the student, but that I became the teacher. And so I am the teacher now. As much as I, you know, shied away for so many years of, you know, because it can be hard. You know, it's a blessing or a curse, this work, as you all know. And I really had to step into the blessings of it because it was just so much my life. I just had to.
Absolutely.
If I wanted happiness, I had to step into it.
Good for you. And how many years? I mean, no, I don't want to date you.
I know. Well, it's ever since I've been really young. And I have older kids now. So, yeah, no, I don't feel bad about my age, actually, because of I've been able to with meditation and, you know, I'm still considered really young. So
that's absolutely
good.
No, I you know, I think you and I are almost about the same age, and absolutely. We're still kind of I don't want to say young into it, but middle aged into it. I think, you know, we're definitely not older, and I think still representing. I think we're, you know, in some ways we're almost cleaving the way for some of the younger, stronger. These kids today are amazing, which, you know, as I'm sure you're finding out in your classes. I just love that you have a teen class. That you do that in Malibu where you live out there?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and they're just great. I just I opened myself up to hypnotize classes in high schools too. And I just hypnotized a class a couple weeks ago, and it's really cute. Like all the kids, there will be a lot of kids who sneak back in to see me, where I go to different high schools about 3 times a year. And the teacher will say, well, you don't have a note, you know, I can't clear you. There's kids that come in from the other classes because they hear I'm coming in, they're wonderful. It's just wonderful to have such a fun, you know, knowledge that they're going to be, gaining some kind of, intuition upcoming for themselves. Even if it's just for a second, they'll remember it all their lives.
Oh, absolutely. It's that, I think it's that significant emotionally for them that it imprints, doesn't it? So
yeah.
Tell me about moon rituals. You do that. Well, I don't know, I guess, what all that involved. There's so many, it seems like, different types of rituals that people do. They either make them up or they get them from somewhere. But what are your moon rituals and what does that consist of?
Well, you know, it wasn't something that I don't think I obviously consciously like thought, oh, you know, I'm going to be a hypnotherapist or, oh, I'm going to be a writer or any of that. Whereas now I get recognized when I'm like in the silliest places in the world. I love your moon articles because I've written for maybe about 4 or 5 years. I write the full moon mostly, but I sometimes write about the new moon as well. The full moon being the highest time of energy upon the planet. It is when the gravitational pull is at its highest. And so I believe that that's a time when you can ask for things and they just will probably happen for you if you're clear about it. And so I started doing, having moon rituals at my house probably in the late 90s. And they were just fun. You know, we didn't think much of them, but about a year in, we asked the core little group that would come. We asked for, are we being seen? Because I believe the moon is the spotlight, is your personal spotlight on the earth. And so therefore you are seen upon the earth for what you want and what you do and for love, success, health, all of it. And so, but we wanted some kind of a sign. And about 3 weeks later, Queen Elizabeth's office called my office to use a photo that I had taken over my head. The only photo I have ever taken over my head on the Royal Mile in Scotland of her and her son and her husband in a carriage, and wanted it for the Kensington shoe and handbag show.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was like, we got our random sign, everybody. Because when is Queen Elizabeth's office calling mine? You know, never.
I know, right?
So then, you know, we took it a little more seriously. But in reality, I have clients who have done the moon rituals because it puts them on a set course anyway that they're going to meditate on these days right. of the month. And I do it usually astrologically. And they open up their lives at such a degree. It's incredible. I mean, they've been eating peanut butter. You know, I mean, it takes a while, but I've had a couple who would eat peanut butter and then they'd be on Learjets, you know, a few years later.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, with their work.
I think it really helps get them more focused, doesn't it? Focus the intent, focused on the doing of, or at least getting out of a victim type consciousness of their life. And then it seems to just focus them into that direction. It sounds like anyway. And of course, certainly the moon being very powerful, having a ritual with that, certainly.
So that's what we've been doing, is like creating intention. Whereas I was creating intention with hypnotherapy as well. So it's just kind of added to my work.
Which, yeah, again, more stuff that they want that you're taking on, right? Piling on and learn this and do this and just crazy. Tell me about, do you have classes for adults that you do?
I'm going to start this year, I think, doing classes. I've been really begged and begged and begged to do a adult psychic class, but I find that probably what would work best for the psychic adult classes is just to open them up as far as classes on an evening where people could come in and out and do like an automatic writing and just make them simple classes. If I have to close them down at a certain, you know, amount of people, then just do that. But yeah, I thought, go the next stage of, because I enjoy the teenagers so much, but I enjoy their parents and I enjoy, you know, the community and beyond the community and the world in general, you know, so it would be fun.
It people love that. They love the simplicity. It doesn't matter how many workshops I give, and we can go, you know, fairly deep into, again, self-discovery and the intuitive part, but they always want to come back to spirit guides and angels. Automatic writing. They always want to come back to those types of things. Well, so I think definitely that would be a great thing for you to do.
Well, we all want our hand held, you know. And I thought it was very interesting when people would tell me that they would do little funny things like ask for parking spots, spirit guide. And I would say, well, you know, that's not really a spirit guide's job. Spirit guide is there to guide you through your life in really your hard times and the good, joyful times, like assist your children and assist you and really where you need it the most. And we may not hear them, but that's their assignment.
I'm so glad you said that, because I have heard the same thing. Ask your spirit guide to get you a parking space. And I thought, you know, no, it never felt right to me. Like, they have got better things to do than to find me somebody who's, you know, I'm fit. I don't need a front row parking spot. You know, I never agreed with that either. So you're right. I kind of have always gone more for the deeper questions, the deeper ways that they can help. So please tell me, we are coming to a close. Sadly, 8 hours just passed right by.
I know. And we're still here. There's no,
we're still here.
Yeah, I've never been into the end of the world thinking.
I'm
going to
say, so provided.
I'm all into the new world thinking. Yeah.
Provided that we're still here on the 22nd, you've got classes and workshops and seminars that are going to be coming up in January. Quickly tell me, I know that you're not going to reveal everything maybe, but where can people find out more information or stay tuned at?
Well, they can just go, you know, everything will be unveiled on my website, you know, which websites to go to. And I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter, Tara Sutphin. And you can catch me at tarasutphin.com, TaraSutphen.com.
Very good. And she is on Facebook. We're Facebook friends now. It's official. you and I.
It's official. We became Facebook friends before the show. And the other psychics, too, that are on tonight, you know, if they want to Facebook me, they can, too. It'd be wonderful, since I didn't get to talk to them very much.
Yeah, we'll Facebook you, all right?
It's kind of how it goes. I come in, I take over, that's pretty much it. And then they just sit in the back and...
But we are here and we're listening.
We're listening very well. Thanks, Bob.
We take turns every week, Tara. That like last week there was a different host, and then one of us hosts a show each week, and it just happened to fall on my turn this time.
Great. Okay.
But
well,
thank you anyway so much, Tara. I really
show. Blessings, everyone.
Yeah. Blessings. Thank you so much. All right. Take care, Tara.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Well, there you have it, as Maureen would say. Wonderful, yep. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tara, for coming on the show. Just absolutely wonderful. Again, you can get a hold of her at Tara Sutphen. The last name is spelled SUTPHEN.com. Or I'm sure you can just type her into Google as well if you are interested in her other sites. She's all over the place on there. I didn't get to talk to her. She was just on an episode of, I think it was The Bachelor or something like that, where she came in and she was trying to help this guy get past all of his blockages. To help him in the love department. We didn't get a chance to talk to her about that. So the second half of the show, as you all know, we'll be taking phone calls, and you'll be able to talk to each one of us and ask us a question. That's not coming up yet. We'll have your free on-air reading with all of our wonderful gifted psychics here. We're going to announce the call-in number a little later in the show, and then we'll also post it in the chat room for those of you who are in the chat room. So be prepared to call in and ask us whatever it is that you'd like, and I'll explain some more of the guidelines for that as we get closer. Meanwhile, you know, our shows are always on archive. If you missed a show or weren't able to tune in, you can always find a recorded archive link, as well as, like I say, the archives of all the previous shows. Just go to psychicaccesstalkradio.com, go to the archives tab, and then if you like a show, I've had several people tell me that they'll listen to a particular show and think of a particular friend that it might fit for. So they kind of circulate that or pass the link to their friends. Please do that. Feel free. The archive links, the future show details, send all your friends and family. We really appreciate it. We want to obviously connect with as many people as possible. So when you share that link with other people, like I say, it really helps us out, and we're able to kind of get the word out just a little bit more. Meanwhile, if you also are interested in having a professional reading, you can always go to the best professional psychics on the net, psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics. Everybody has their own unique gifts. I like the site because it's set up where everybody has their own little biography and talks about the different modalities that they use. And you can kind of choose, see who it is that you link up with or who it is that you connect to. Doug at Psychic Access has just the highest expectations of all of the psychics. So again, that's one of the things I really appreciate about working with the site as well, because each one of us are, again, very authentic and are tested strictly. Maureen, I think he just kind of let in. She just said, I want to be a psychic. He said, yeah, okay. And
Excuse me? I don't think so. I don't think so. Carry on.
So all of the co-hosts, including Maureen, are here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com, work at Psychic Access. So if you discover that you would like a personal reading from any one of us, just be sure to come to PsychicAccess.com. You can look us up and find us. We'd love to hear from you. Here's another thing. If you don't want necessarily a reading, but you are a site owner or webmaster, you can actually earn 50 cents a minute on every reading that traffic is referred to PsychicAccess.com. If you want some more details, just please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And remember, if you like our show, invite your friends. If you didn't like the show, keep your mouth shut. I think it's – oh, that's not in the script. Sorry. Hang on. Listen to – if you like the show, invite your friends. There, that's all there
is. And your dogs. And your dog. Invite your dogs, too, and your cats.
So there's something for everybody. Please spread the word. Yes, please. All right. Let me give – now, listen. This is not the time to – call in. However, it is time to give out the numbers, 724-444-4851. We're going to be getting to calls probably in about 20 minutes. We're going to start taking phone calls. But please don't be surprised if you call in now and we don't answer, because it's not time yet. It's actually time for one of our chat room, chat room attendees, one of her wonderful favorite moments for all of us to talk amongst ourselves. And I would like to dedicate this to Julie. And let's talk to Maureen first. So
it's called banter. Banter. Sorry.
The kibitzing.
Kibitzing and banter and provincing. I'm sorry, Bubi. I'm ready.
Yeah, never mind. So.
You know, I just kind of got hired off the skin. Hi, Dee. I'm ready. No, I'm messing with you as you like to do with me. You're my best friend.
So, have you heard of Tara before and all the work that she does? Like,
no, I haven't. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to everybody I might be offending. I haven't. I haven't heard of anybody. No, I haven't. I haven't. But I did listen to the whole interview. Actually did. There was something that I did want to bring up that I thought was interesting. It does seem like, Bobby, I listen, she seems like she knows a lot about, she's well-versed in a lot of areas. Was that just me getting that, or?
Oh, God, I'm saying there's so much, isn't there? That's why I asked her if her list is done yet, or when do you feel overwhelmed, or does that ever stop, you know?
Right. It's the one thing I love about doing the show, because I've been doing it longer than all of you people. I had to throw that in there because, you know, I was hired by Steve. I always find it so interesting. I love, she's talking about the students, the teacher. The way I'm looking at it, I'm constantly going back and forth as being one. It's almost like one in the same. And this show has really helped me because we've had some fantastic guests and interviews on. I've learned quite a bit, but I do know that there's something that I do in my work that I'm very connected with, and I love getting as much knowledge as possible, and I've used some of that, but I know that sometimes for myself, if I went in so many directions, my head would spin if that was okay. You know what I mean? I guess she brought up something about tarot, and because I'm well versed in tarot, as Brenda is, I found something, a little bit different about what she was saying in it, but I know that you can't be not an expert. Your expertise can't be so much in so many areas. It boggles my brain in some way.
You know, I do a lot, I guess, and it does kind of melds into, you know, like when I'm doing a workshop or a gallery, it all kind of melds one into the other. So if I were to sit down and just do a session on past lives, I could, but I'd really have to focus on that. You see what I mean? And I think it would definitely be tough, but she just seems like she expands and expands, doesn't it? Just never.
Exactly. I mean, it's like I look at it as I always talk to people about there's something you're doing a juggling act with it, and I'm just giving an example. Like one thing will only get treated half, and you could pretend half horse, meaning, you know, half A. One will get treated not as much as the other one when you're juggling. But some people can apparently juggle and handle it and have both energies in at the amount that's needed to get to know enough about, like you're talking about, well, I could, you know, if I focus enough, I could, you know, I have integrated numerology, astrology, and everything in my work. But as far as just sticking to numerology, just that, I would have to get a little bit more brushed up in just doing that, you know? Well,
yeah, absolutely. You know,
okay. No,
So, Brenda, how about for you? I thought about you when she was talking about, Egyptology and fascinating, and she's very deep into that as well. It seems like anybody who this is really powerful inside of, it seems to kind of go back to Egyptian roots.
Well, all roads lead to Egypt, and that is for sure. Especially I believe the spiritual roots, because it was a complete and total spiritual society. I mean, they lived and breathed their belief systems, and it was a belief system based on universal truths and all the things that she's talking about. I mean, I know I've heard of them. They rode the big first wave of the whole New Age thing. You know, her and her husband. I've heard of them, and I know that they've been around. And, you know, when you have been around that long in our work and in the areas, in the arenas that they've been in, you know, it's possible to pick up an awful lot of, you know, to become, you know, to expand your knowledge. I mean, I particularly liked what she said about, you know, the moon, because that's what I believe, you know. Especially, you know, because the moon's our mother, the moon's the mother, and for it to be the shining light in what we do, if we think about it, where our moon is placed in our charts, it usually is, it's a special, it's part of our destiny, it really is. And I think that Steve would agree with that, right, Steve? If he's even listening.
I am listening, sorry, I was trying to go off mute, I wasn't expecting a question. Is the moon our mother?
You know, they say the moon is the mother, and it's a very special aspect of our personalities and our drive.
Yeah, the moon's the magnetic, receptive, intuitive energy. So it's the opposite of the sun being power urges, mm-hmm. an urge to...
The directed power.
Yes, yeah. And when you're analyzing a person's chart, then absolutely the moon... amongst other things, does represent the relationship with the mother.
And it's interesting when it's in relation to creative projects where a person's moon lies really shows, you know, their path in relation to their creativity. And if they are a creative person, you know, if they're going, and even in business, I think too. And there is a saying that the Druids say, and I don't know if you knew this, Steve, since you know you're from England, is that the man can draw down the power of the moon, but only the woman can direct it.
Ooh, I
just... that's a great thing, because you know there's an archetype union archetype story about Mother Moon, and what you just said is very fascinating. Bring that up.
Isn't that fascinating? You know, and in the Druid belief system, and in many of the earth-based belief systems, when we are in the circle and we're working on the full moon or the new moon, that's kind of the energy between the male and female that occurs. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and also the moon being the mother moon, and when never mind, I could go into a story that would last too long. So
I particularly like what she said about that, and of course what she said about Ramses, because he's my favorite pharaoh of all time. I was probably one of his concubines.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
Yeah, the hair says it all, Brenda.
Yeah, the wig. I'd have a shaved head and have one of those big elaborate wigs.
That's funny. Steve.
Yes.
What about it? I somehow seems like the American mystic, the mystic part, seemed like it resonates with you more. Is that just me picking that up, or is that true, do you think?
I'm not sure what you mean, Bobby.
It just seems like, so the mystic part of everything, you know, being the mystic and the mystic arts and some of the things it is that she does around, you know, there's a certain energy and vibration that comes from mysticism.
From the word, yeah. Yeah.
Being, that resonates with you and that level.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the word's associated with the word mystery and mysteries, and I'm fascinated by the mystery schools and the mysteries, and you guys were saying that as metaphysicians we're always learning. We can't possibly know even 1/100th of the truth. I mean, really, when you sit and reflect about life, we don't even know where we are. We're on this planet Earth. We don't have the answers even about why we're here, where we actually are, what's out there. So life is a mystery. And I believe that we have to look beyond accepted science to get a broader understanding of life, of God, of the way the universe functions, and much, much more. So metaphysics is beyond physics. And I take a very scientific approach to my work. I like, try to very much validate my work, and that's one of the reasons I love I love astrology, because it's very much based on statistical analysis. You know, yeah. you can prove that when people marry, they have major progressed aspects to the ruler of the house of marriage. You can prove these things, and I still think, though, that we have to acknowledge that science, or the scientific community, is learning. We're all learning. So we thought that the world was flat until we proved that it wasn't. But there's obviously so much we haven't proven. And so I love the term mystic, and particularly mysteries and the mystery schools, because for me it represents exploring beyond what is commonly acknowledged, and there's an infinite amount to learn. It never ends.
I don't think you could ever learn it all. I think we're just expand. But you know, I think there's a point. It's human existence that we all, you can only expand, like you said, so much. And then the only other way that you're going to expand beyond that is to, when we cross over.
Yeah, we continue to grow. I do believe, though, that the more spiritual work we do, the better. Because, and for me, spiritual work is making the biggest contribution we can to universal welfare. And in actual fact, we, above the astral plane is the spiritual plane. And the more we evolve spiritually, the more we make a difference.
Absolutely.
The more evolved we are, and we potentially can pass straight to the spiritual realm rather than continuing to progress on the astral realm and then have an astral death into the spiritual realm.
I agree. Very nice. Maureen, you were the word mystic.
I'm not here. Whoa, what? Mystic. I love that word mystic, and I love it because of Van Morrison. I love the word mystic, and I love the word. I had my head to wait. And the reason is Van Morrison's the song, Into the Mystic. You know the song? You can sing it with me, Bobby, if you like. Yeah, okay. Mystic, I think, is a very blessed, honored word, and humbling, so humbly. Being humble as I am, mystic. Well, I don't know. What are you guys talking about? I think that word kind of belongs where it should. I do love that word. Is, come on, who doesn't love the word? Brenda?
That's my name when I was doing the Renaissance Fair. The Egyptian,
well, exactly.
Mystic.
That's, well, that is a good, I'm glad you brought that up, because absolutely, it is a fantastic word, because you mystify, mystic. I mean, it's more like for...
That's the Egyptian mystic in my
husband. Yeah, exactly. But that's for, you know what I mean. But as far as, what were you guys talking about? Wait, I have some time. Who are you? Wait, I have dementia. No, I'm just saying... Bobby, what are you trying to get at, putting me on the spot with this? What do you think of the word mystic, Bobby?
I like it, but I think it does. Blom, I like
the Renaissance Fair. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk to you. I'm sorry. Go on, Bobby. That was rude.
Okay. Get me this. And that, well, it covers so many of the things it is that we do, and it's a type of great umbrella for the different. We all do,
Do you call yourself a mystic, or do you have a do you?
I really get more out of labels. Like I say, I'm.
Yeah.
Don't I? You know, when people ask you point blank, then you know sometimes the only way to describe it is psychic medium, and then that's the quickest way to understanding. You know, in a sense, because then you don't have to I really shy away from calling myself anything other than what I was saying earlier, like just teacher. It just using my abilities to help teach people and kind of at the information booth, you know, you want to know how to get to such and such a place or how to go here. This is what's best for you now. Kind of guidance and things like that. So, I'm really trying to come out of titles if I'm able to. But they're needed sometimes, aren't they? Especially with media. And if you're in a position like what Tara's in.
Uh-oh, we lost him.